Transfer complete.
Hello and welcome to Subspace Transmissions, the podcast where two Trek fans step into the arena and tackle the best, worst, weirdest, wildest, and everything in between that Star Trek has to offer. I'm Cam Smith, and joining me on the bridge,
this is Tyler Orton, getting out of his chair and pulling his uniform down just a little bit to readjust everything.
Okay, and we have a very special guest this week, here to debate the merits of the Starfleet scant, Penny Daphlos.
Thanks for having me, guys. This is great.
What do you think of the Starfleet scant? Actually, you know what? Hold that thought. Mm-hmm. We're going to dive into it even deeper. But, Penny, every time we have a new guest, we have to get a little bit about their history with Star Trek. Tell us a little bit, like, how did you get into it? What was maybe kind of the series that really brought you into this entire franchise here?
For me, it was totally The Next Generation because I was in my, early teens and not even. I was even younger than that. And I have some bittersweet memories about Star Trek The Next Generation because I don't know where you guys grew up, but in Metro Vancouver, it was often on at 7 p.m. You want to know what else was on at 7 p.m.? Entertainment Tonight.
Oh, that's right.
That my mom always wanted to watch after the news. So there are a lot of episodes that I only saw the second half because mom had to know.
Oh.
What was going on in the entertainment world. Right. So it wasn't until later, and we had like more than one TV in the house, that I could actually have the luxury of watching the whole episode.
Cam, were you more of a Bob Gowen or a John Tesh kind of guy?
I prefer John Tesh.
Okay.
Bob Gowen was so full of it. So smarmy.
I agree. I'm a John Tesh guy myself.
But the guy they replaced him with, Mark whatever, he was even worse.
Okay. Well, so Penny.
Wow, you guys remember way more than I do. That's amazing.
Well, let me ask you this, though. I mean, among all the characters, because for me, Star Trek, I'm always kind of drawn into the characters more than anything else, but who is maybe one of your standout characters from Next Generation?
I gotta say, I really like Tasha Yar because at the time there weren't a lot of great, like, tough ass female role models, and maybe she was a little bit too tough ass, but I did like that she was just, you know, take no crap from anybody, and I really like that. Like, I've always liked the strong female role models, and actually Deanna Troi was great, but I found that she was a little bit wimpy for my taste. Like, I loved her hair,
right? Sure,
but it was just not quite, I don't know,
season one haircut or the latter seasons.
You know, when I picture her, it's season one, but I did like the latter haircuts better for
sure.
Okay. Right,
Cam, Yar versus Troi, which haircut would you go for?
I think you got to go Yar.
Yar, okay.
Right? Yeah?
Yeah, okay. I can see it. Although, we'll get into it maybe next week, but in the episode Haven, she has like this bizarre haircut. Do you recall?
I know, exactly.
Flat top.
It's a little like 80s kind of glam rock sort of a bit. Like,
Was she a member of Cinderella? And I had no idea.
Cinderella?
Yeah.
I think it was more like, wasn't it sort of more new age than like, I guess, metal?
Okay. She's like a member of like Depeche Mode?
Or like Prince's backup singer.
Okay. Yeah. I got it.
Depeche Mode, though. You can't go wrong. Yeah.
Sure. I agree. Yeah.
It was the 80s. It was a glorious time to be alive.
Okay. So, Cam, what is the conundrum, I should say?
It's not haircut style.
No.
This week we're going to.
That has been pitched for the show before, though.
Yes, it was, and we turned it down. this week we're going to talk best and worst uniforms.
Okay.
Sort of a look at the history of Starfleet uniforms and which ones worked and which ones didn't.
Okay.
So why don't we start right off the top? In 1966, there's a pilot made for The Cage, in which Gene Roddenberry has an almost completely different crew, headed by Captain Pike, and they had those uniforms that were a little different, a little funky.
You definitely recognize the color scheme that they have going on there.
Yes.
But, you know, I can see kind of the genesis of how these Cage uniforms worked. I mean, Penny, do you even see them like all that being all that different from what we know today as kind of the standard, the original series sort of uniforms?
Well, you know what really stands out actually is the texture, like that velour quality. Yeah. I don't know, like, to me, they just look so uncomfortable. Like, would you want to be drifting through space having to sit at a terminal wearing that for 8 or 10 hours a day? I don't know if it's...
You know what? If the airlock blew, I need something to keep myself warm. I don't know.
To me, they look very like classic cheese ball sci-fi. Like, it's...
Sure.
I think later on they would kind of refine it down to something that looked kind of original and new and cool. But this still seems like they're trying to channel like 1950s sci-fi. Island Earth or something like that.
And I think the saving grace, though, is that it's not silver. You know,
right?
That would have been the ultimate like cheesy sci-fi motif.
They did do silver though throughout that series.
Yeah, but not for Starfleet uniforms.
No, not for Starfleet.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting here. I go back and look at 60s fashion.
Mm-hmm.
There's still something like timeless about it, like that I can appreciate. Even if we're watching like science fiction, whether it's the colors or whatever they're doing, I think it has kind of a classic look to it.
It's funny, though, how close they were. Because it's like they almost had it, but they've got those baggy necks.
Yeah.
Things like that.
It's almost like loungewear, isn't it? Like it becomes more militant later on, but this is almost like loungewear with a cowl neck and stuff. I don't know.
You kind of feel like there should be like an ottoman, you know, like right next to the captain's chair there.
What do you make of the more subdued colors? Is that representative of this crew who are a little more bland?
Well, Penny, let me ask you this. Have you seen the original pilot episode for the original series?
I'm kind of embarrassed to say that I haven't, but now I want to.
I was curious because the original Captain Pike, like he was... he wasn't like the energetic go-getter that was Kirk, though.
He was more had more like inner turmoil and just seemed depressed.
Like he didn't really want to be a starship captain.
The first episode is all, or the pilot is all about him wanting to quit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a downer.
Literally, like he's introduced to us by like kind of like whining on his bed, and the doctor has to come in and get him out of bed. So.
Somehow Tony Soprano can do that, and it's compelling, but not everybody can, I guess.
Right. So can we get an idea of what the original pilot looks like? How does the genesis go when it comes to the Star Trek uniforms?
Well, and we should say that anyone who wants visuals to go along with kind of the podcast, we'll have a YouTube video up on the blog, as well as the Facebook page, that will basically break down all the photos into a couple minutes, so you can watch kind of a slideshow and follow along as to what we're talking about. Anyways, so we then jump into the original series starts, as it will, with William Shatner in 66. And before they get to the uniforms, we know there was actually kind of a in-between from the cage into TOS, we see in the original, the second pilot, should say, where no man has gone before. And I think they're also present in like the man trap and probably Corbomite maneuver as well.
Those ones are very off-putting because also when you're watching the episodes in order and then all of a sudden they switch uniforms back and forth and like those kind of look ugh to me. Yeah.
I don't like them at all.
No. Penny, well, I heard your initial reaction. It was like...
I don't know that I've ever seen this crazy flesh tone furry looking thing before. It's horrendous.
You would say it is like very 60s though. Would you not? Like,
yeah, because it looks like a piece of furniture that they just cut up and made into a shirt, doesn't it? Like the beige one anyhow.
Right. Cam, please tell me that there is hope for the future though. Like, they do start to get their groove when it comes to the classic uniforms here.
Gary Lockwood was really the one who had to suffer the most just for that episode. And then we finally get into the classic. Classic look.
Ooh, there you go.
Which is the one that fans like to dress up as. I would love to see fans actually dressed in the old, like, TOS uniforms.
Like,
the pre, you know, figuring them out. The unrefined uniforms.
Post-cage, was it like Charlie X that they finally have, like, the regular uniforms
on? It was
probably,
like, the third or fourth episode shot, I would think.
Okay. Yeah. So, Penny, let me get your opinion on this. Is this more your style here if you were forced, out of all the three, to pick? Like, are you digging these more than anything else?
I think this is actually pretty sophisticated because you've got kind of layers going on. You've got a wrap thing and then the black turtleneck underneath. I don't know. I think it's pretty sharp. And then the boots. Who doesn't like boots?
Yeah. You know, those contrasting colors that they've got there with the black on every single color there, whether it's blue, red, or gold, like the black contrast. Quite well. What do you figure, Cameron?
Well, it's interesting because Star Trek, when it was launched, was intended to appeal to people who were buying color televisions. And it's interesting that out of the gate, they were like, let's make them subdued and kind of bland.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't really work on black and white TV very well. Everything would be kind of this dingy gray. It's curious that it took them that long to figure out that we should go vibrant, colorful. And I mean, it's not a real question to me why these uniforms have held up so well.
Right. You bring up the color TV situation. Did you ever watch The Wonder Years growing up, either one of you guys?
I did.
Okay.
A little bit.
Do you remember there's that episode about where the Arnolds were debating? They all wanted a color TV for Christmas, and they never got it. So Kevin Arnold, he never had a color TV, but there was this episode that was kind of a takeoff on Spock's brain.
Right.
And I could see that he knew what all uniforms looked like. They just knew how to identify the colors, even though he only had a black and white television set. I don't know, Cam. Did that kind of like mess you up when you're watching it as a 12-year-old or so?
No.
No? Okay.
It really
My
didn't.
Apologies. Okay.
In fact, I barely remember that episode, but it's interesting that it had such an impact on your life.
All right. Well, so, Penny, we don't have a photo right here, but I am curious. Are you familiar with Kirk's green wraparound that he wears, kind of his alternative uniform, much like how Picard had that gray uniform that he'd wear every once in a while?
I actually like the gray with kind of the bomber jacket look on Picard. I mean, I know we're kind of jumping ahead. Yeah, the wrap thing, I don't know. The whole casual you know, late 60s, early 70s kind of thing. Yeah, like that to me almost looks like it's the top of a bathrobe or something. Like it just doesn't have that kind of, and I know it's more casual, but it doesn't have any gravitas. It doesn't say I'm a leader or anything like that. It's just kind of weird.
So Cam, I apologize. You did have that photo.
I do have
very
the curtain.
I'm impressed.
The green wrap, yes.
Yeah. So Cam, I want to know what your opinions are on the green wrap, because maybe I know something about Cam that Penny doesn't necessarily know.
Well, I own both the gold Kirk one and the green wrap.
Yeah, you do.
Yes,
well,
I
why
do.
Why are you wearing them?
I didn't want to like commute over here wearing it. I thought that would be humiliating more so than even doing a Star Trek podcast weekly.
Well, no. Cam, you're forgetting to tell Penny about the time that you purchased a cardboard Mr. Worf, like 6 foot tall cutaway,
yes.
And you had to carry him on public transit for about an hour or so.
Yes, in rush hour.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I would like go up and make a conversation with somebody who's doing that. So
yeah.
Maybe you should try sometime just to like make some friends.
No one wanted to be my friend that day.
Actually, no, Cam, when we were at the Seattle convention, you were walking around in your uniform between the hotel and the convention.
The gold one.
Yeah, yeah. And you got a couple horns honked at you in your
people
direction.
Were honking at me. Yes,
yeah.
It looked like it was mostly ridicule.
Really?
So it looked like they were not. It was not people being like, "That's awesome." It was more like people like, "Wow."
Okay. Well, okay. Penny, you're not totally sold. I think you had a lot of interesting points on like, you know, it looks like kind of casual wear for a captain. What's up with that? Cam, you tell me what's so appealing about this wrap here.
To me, it makes Kirk stand out. Like one of my big issues with the gold is that they all kind of wear the gold, whereas.
Yeah.
It just, to me, doesn't have that punch. Whereas when Kirk walks under the bridge in the green, it's like, hell yes.
But
Captain on the bridge.
I don't know. Gold versus like lime green. What has a bigger punch in your opinion, Penny?
Well, the one just implies authority. I mean, gold tells you you're large and in charge, whereas green is just kind of a... It's literally like a garden party thing, you guys. Like, if you were going, if they were just going to have like a patio party, just like sit around having beers, I'd be fine. Okay, wear whatever you like. It's, you know, V, lower V, like whatever you want, right? But it just doesn't say, I don't know, when you're a captain, don't you have to kind of be the captain all the time?
Yeah, you bring up the V. Is that too deep of a V net for, like, a captain?
For William Shatner?
I guess
for
it
William
depends Shatner? Who's wearing it. But for Shatner, I think that's more than enough right there. I don't know.
What about 84-year-old Shatner as we know him today?
Or Captain Stiles from Star Trek 3.
I could picture Stiles in the V for
It'd
sure.
Be more in his off time, though.
Okay.
Chris Pine, though, can be as deep as he wants.
Oh, like, okay.
Why do you think they haven't brought that look to the JJ movies?
Don't you think that today it would be seen as kind of sleazy almost?
Well, I mean, look how often in those new movies they swap up uniforms. Like,
oh, sure.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Like, we are not going to go through all of the JJ uniforms today because they seem to swap costumes every 15 minutes. Why have they not done some sort of tribute to the green outfit? I mean, Kirk had several green ones, not just the one, but this is the most famous one.
Maybe most audiences feel more the same way that Penny does than you do, Cam, when it comes to this particular uniform.
I own that green one.
I know you do.
Okay,
I know.
In
the spirit of
sharing, I also bought just a cheap red, like Uhura style little dress thing,
nice.
Which really was just like a long t-shirt, but I wore it like to Halloween at work and stuff, like if I wasn't on the air. But I made the tragic mistake of washing it once because, you know, you're having a bad day. I would just wear that around the house and I'd feel amazing, right? Because it was literally just like a t-shirt. It was like $20 from ThinkGeek. And then I made the tragic error of sticking it in the dryer and the insignia peeled right off. And now it's just a long, ugly t-shirt that I can't bear to keep around, so I threw it out.
I don't blame you for that, though.
Right. Yeah. I've never washed mine.
No.
Actually, no. That's not true. That's not true. I actually took
TMI.
It. No. This is even more embarrassing. I actually took it to be dry cleaned. And I remember the girl was very attractive that I was handing it to.
Yeah.
And I was just like, nothing's worse than this, I don't think.
You know for a fact that she'll never date you.
No, I knew it.
Or she could have been the girl of your dreams. That's kind of
that
a litmus test, isn't it?
That was not the impression I got.
No, she had a very judgmental look on her face as she accepted your Star Trek uniform.
It was like a knowing smirk.
Well, Penny, I've told this story on the podcast before, but I literally dressed up in a Star Trek uniform for Halloween and went to a costume a contest at a bar here in Vancouver, and I got booed off stage in my I was dressed up as Commander Riker. Do you remember the episode from season 7 where they all turn into like caveman versions of themselves? Genesis,
I might.
Riker turns into a caveman, essentially. So I dressed up as a caveman in a Starfleet uniform, and I got booed off stage. And Cam ended up winning that particular contest that night.
Not as a Star Trek character.
No, he went as Nightcrawler from X-Men, and people loved it.
Oh, that's a pretty cool...
Mm. It was very good. Yep. Very good.
Cam.
So, yes.
Yes.
Maybe you were just trying too hard, Tyler. I don't know. I'm just going to throw that out there. Trying a little hard.
I think you've kind of psychoanalyzed me quite astutely at this point.
It was too obscure, I think.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, the original series, they're a hit. People still wear them to this day at cons in huge numbers.
Cam, when we're at the big convention in Las Vegas, what do you think the most popular uniform is there? Remember, should we leave that question to last? Or I don't know. Like, I wouldn't mind tackling
I don't
right
mind
now.
Saying. I do think the most popular is probably the kind of the classic red TNG uniform.
Yeah. I do notice that one more often, but yeah. I think the TOS uniforms definitely close second. I think among women, if the average woman is dressing up in a Starfleet uniform, they're generally wearing like the TOS era uniforms. Just my own personal observations here.
I genuinely think the TOS ones are the most flattering to wear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's also demographics, though. Like, if you look at the age of the participants, what would they have grown up with? What would it have the most impact on them? So that's probably... Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, when you and our former, a previous guest, Tommy Ball, first went, he went as like a guy, it's like Tom Paris, right?
He got, the Tom Paris replica uniform.
And that was, and he went with that uniform, not because I think it's his favorite uniform, but
it was his favorite character.
His favorite character. Mm-hmm. So I think people really are inclined to go towards whatever series that got them into it. I think that's why I went up as TNG Caveman Riker for Halloween, and I have put that uniform on since.
Well, let's talk about
we have something in common, Cam. Neither one of us has washed our uniforms ever.
Well, let's talk about some uniforms you don't see at cons.
Okay.
So Star Trek goes off the air in 1969, and it takes a while before we get live action Trek again, until 1979 when the motion picture comes out. They took liberties with the motion picture uniforms, and fans huge fan. So why don't we'll talk about maybe Kirk's Admiral one separately, but let's just talk about the crew uniforms.
It looks like they are in leisure suits that from the 70s.
It was the style at the time.
It does not look like the 23rd century at all. It literally looks like they are in the 1970s and they stumbled upon a starship. Penny, what do you make of this? You know, we go from this classic 60s look to something that is very much of the time when it comes to the late 1970s here.
You know, I just, my first impression on seeing this, it's kind of ironic. If you look at some of the newer stuff, like Kanye West's fashion show had a similar color palette, right? So it's funny how things kind of come full circle. But I don't, like, when you first glance at that picture, you're like, oh my God, are they naked? Are they wearing pants? Like, it's just a terrible neutral palette.
There is a lot of uncomfortable bulges in this movie. Especially seeing it on the big screen. You're like, boy, man, those uniform fittings must have been something else. Like,
hide nothing.
No.
They hide nothing.
Wait, more uncomfortable than all those crotch shots that we saw in Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, Cam?
I think so, yes. Okay, because those are intentional. These are unintentional.
Okay, fair enough.
The participants, I don't think, wanted to be showing as much as they were in these uniforms.
So, Cam, what do you make of it? We go, it's the vibrant colors that we've seen in the 1960s, and then we go to like just these muted like earth tones. What do you make of this, sir?
Well, this to me seems more like they were going for, again, 2001 Space Odyssey. Yeah, you know, that was what inspired this movie, and that and Close Encounters. And it just seems like they wanted to have that kind of muted, kind of mundane space look.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they do not want...
Utilitarian. I think utilitarian, it's, except for the white, but yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, they wanted to suck the joy out of it, basically. Space isn't an adventure. It's, you know...
It's work.
Yeah, mostly.
I feel like there should be some fluorescent lights like flashing over them right now.
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you a bit of a leading question here, but
Well,
it's a question I already know the answer to. What's the best uniform, in your opinion, here amongst the crew, Kirk included?
Well, the Admiral Kirk uniform, I think, is the only one that works. And I don't even really know why, because the color palette is equally dull. But for some reason, the gray and white does work for me.
I think it's, Penny, what do you think? I'm going back to contrasting colors here. Once again, I like the color contrast on Admiral Kirk's uniform here. What do you make of it?
Well, it's more naval, it's more militant, and I think, again, just like that authority, you know, like it's not even like an organic V, it's an intentional V to make his shoulders look bigger, he looks more authoritative, and he just looks, I don't know, just like sharp. It almost looks like, even if he hadn't just had a haircut, you'd think that he just had a haircut. That's how sharp it is, right? Yeah. I don't know why, it just gives that impression.
I do appreciate the new haircut Captain Kirk has 10 years after the
haircut,
series.
Haircut, huh?
Yeah, haircut. Cam.
Sure, we'll go with that.
No, I'm being polite, but I'm just saying. Yeah. Like, yes, he looks very fresh-faced.
Yeah.
But he just looks overall very fresh.
All right. Cam, any final thoughts on the motion picture, or do we want to jump to...
I would just say it's telling that, you know, when J.J. Abrams is doing his movies, the Kirk Admiral uniform gets brought into the fashion sense for Pike there.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see anyone else wearing these, like, muted crew jumpsuits.
But did you feel as if there's any fan outrage that, look, these are not popular uniforms, but when you bring them back for Star Trek Into Darkness, I don't recall any fan outrage over Admiral Pike wearing that uniform.
No, I think people like it.
Yeah, but do we ever see anybody at a convention in the Admiral's uniform from the motion picture?
Not that I can recall, but I will say, like, the site where a lot of people will go to buy those uniforms, they sell that one. They do not sell the other motion picture uniforms.
Oh, okay. What about McCoy's civilian wear?
Oh, the disco
outfit?
Disco grandpa?
Yeah.
I mean, I would wear that.
I would wear that, too. Yeah.
Well, one day.
All right, sir.
So let's move on to the next movie, because there was a lot of retooling after the motion picture. Very popular.
Yeah.
Fans were not in love with it.
Really?
And I don't think the reviewers were too in love with it either.
Really?
I know, shocking. And so we get to the Wrath of Khan and the very classy red uniforms.
Penny, what do you think here?
I've always liked these ones a lot, but I do think it takes away a lot of the individuality and a lot of the distinctiveness that you have, and just that sense that, you know, they're different with different skills and stuff. And so that, I don't know, that kind of takes away, but it does look very sharp.
Penny, I've never been able to decode what the different colors mean that they're, like, for their tunics there. It's, or their turtlenecks, I should say. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, some have gray, some have orange, some red, and I don't understand it, because they don't seem to really line up with whatever their, you know, jobs, their vocations are on board the starship. But, Cam, these are pretty badass, are they not?
They are, but I agree with you, because I think when we went and saw Star Trek IV recently, I think, or maybe it was 6, one or the other, when we went and saw them on the big screen recently, I spent a good chunk of the movie trying to figure out ranks on these uniforms, and it just, that's the one thing I don't like.
I don't believe they wear those uniforms until the very, very end of 4.
Is it 4? Okay, yeah.
So it was probably number 6.
Probably 6. I was, really trying to figure it out. Yeah. But.
Okay. No, in the ranking, it's hard to figure out. It's not like those pips that, like, easy, you count 1, 2, 3, 4 on just an ensign, lieutenant, so on and so forth. This is very confusing, but honestly, it has kind of this utilitarian sort of look, you know, like you could hold, like, your pen inside, like, a little pocket somehow. It also looks kind of military-esque, which is what Nicholas Meyer was going for, the director, which really stood at odds with what Gene Roddenberry wanted. Gene Roddenberry did not like the militarization of Starfleet that Nick Meyer was really pushing forward in Star Trek 2, but these uniforms are pretty awesome.
And you know what? Just looking at them, don't they remind you of the RCMP? Like, I wonder if the RCMP someday in the future, 100 years from now, if they may take inspiration to update their Red Surge from these uniforms. There's just something very Mountie-esque about them. And you just wonder if in the future, just like, you know, we're constantly taking from sci-fi to build new technology. It's this back and forth. You wonder if they would take some inspiration from these uniforms, because they're very... I don't know. They remind me of the RCMP.
All we need then is for the crew here to put on those caps that Pharrell wears, you know, and man, it's just Mounties all the way, I'd say.
Here's the question. Jimmy Doohan is Canadian. Did he inspire these uniforms? So he's the one running to, you know, Nicholas Meyer in the costume department saying, Mounties.
Right. Well, hey, Shatner's Canadian too.
That's also true, of course. So.
But I don't know. Shatner only brings up the fact that he's Canadian when he doesn't want to get involved with American politics.
That's
which,
also true.
I've also noticed.
Yes.
So. All right.
Well, so we move from the movie era into TNG. Now, TNG, people will agree, had pretty classy uniforms. But season 1 and 2, a little more polarizing with fans.
Yeah.
They're close.
They're
close.
They kind of have, like, the the seed of the idea. It just takes a little growing. And I mean, the uniforms need to physically grow because those are way too skin tight. Like, what do you make of that, Penny?
Well, just like, I don't know about you guys, but whenever I watch the first couple seasons, I'm always looking to see if like the fabric is going in their butt crack. Because
okay.
like when people are walking, it's like, how did they not make that happen? Like you wonder, were they wearing like a liner or Spanx or something? Because they were so tight. That must have happened by accident sometimes. And like, how would you undo that? Like, I just don't even know.
I do wonder what the undergarment situation was for that crew at the time. Because I like... It seems very, very uncomfortable and difficult to navigate.
You don't see any bra lines?
No.
You don't see any stuff that you would typically see? And there's no way they were going commando. Well, I mean, maybe commando, but there must have been a bra situation going on because that's not
Breaks
how
was.
Major, that's Breaks. Not what oh, yeah. happens in nature, right? So I'm just pointing out that there had to be some sort of, not even corsets, because then there's boning that you would see. Like
right.
It must have been something pretty, like maybe early Spanx. I don't know.
It's possible. Didn't they say some of the males were wearing like muscle suits too?
Yeah, no, but did that make sense to you based on like what we've seen?
From the point of view of vanity, yeah, it makes sense because those are very unforgiving outfits.
Yes.
I mean, I could see if you're a male actor, you probably want to look
but
good.
Does say Will Wheaton look ripped in his?
Yes.
Okay. He's got that 8-pack that's, yeah, he's rocking. Okay.
Of course he does. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it seems cruel when you look at, we've talked in the past about how early TNG, they often put very schlumpy guys in more of the supporting roles.
Sure.
They weren't like the gods that were, you know, LeVar Burton and
no.
You know, Jonathan Frakes. But, you know, like you think of like, say, Argyle. There was the engineer Argyle.
Chief engineer, yeah.
He was a very like schlumpy, out of shape guy. And they're putting him in that outfit?
It's cruel.
It really
is
cruel.
Yeah, not flattering.
No, and you know, I don't think I've ever seen anyone wearing a spandex TNG uniform at a convention.
But what we have seen at conventions, though, Cam, we have seen the scant, the early next gen scant.
Yes.
Though. So Penny, look, you had the Uhura, you know, outfit there. We fast forward to we're looking at the photo. That's why we're both laughing right now.
I do remember this one too.
What do you make of this?
Wow.
I think that sums it up. Like. Wow.
Like, what they were trying to say about gender roles in the future.
Yeah.
And, you know, you be you. Like, I like that. But I just, even on women, like, isn't it drafty in there? Like, everybody's wearing long sleeves and all of a sudden you got bare legs and drafts happening all sorts of places. And then you sit down and it gets even shorter. Like, women have to put up with that now. But for a man to choose to do that in the future, like, I don't know why women would do that in the future.
Like, does this work if you're in the security detail? Like, you know?
You lose a little bit of authority
yeah.
in that situation.
Or just trying to arrest somebody and like, you know, like...
But, you know, he's got pretty good legs. Maybe he's just like, ladies, have a look.
Yeah.
Well,
why not?
In the older days, it was like men's calves that were like the big, you know, sex appeal factor.
Ankles and stuff.
Keep telling
right?
yourself that, Cam. Get your leg off my table.
It's not as bad as some of the costumes you see. There was one like Borat, like when I can't even remember what episode it was.
Oh.
And I was like, that poor guy that had to wear this flimsy, shiny, I'm sure you can think of it as like a silvery fabric. And I'm like, you have to be brave to wear that.
Sounds like something the Ito would wear.
The Ito or something from like Ryza or a Pleasure Planet.
Oh,
yeah. Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Could it be a Pleasure Planet if you actually have to wear that all day? Who's taking any pleasure in that? Not I.
No. I can't say that would be my go-to.
Okay, those scants, I can't really wrap my head around.
I didn't even know what it was called.
Oh, there's official terminology here. We actually had a friend of ours who's talking about scanting it up for a Star Trek convention, Cam.
I don't think he'll ever do it, though.
No? He doesn't have the guts?
But people do wear them there.
Yeah, yeah.
They are becoming quite popular.
We've seen people at the conventions wearing the scant. There you go.
And how many episodes was the scant in? Like
I think it was maybe like
five?
Yeah, maybe like tops like 8.
Yeah.
You know, just amusing the background. How come we didn't have like Worf or Data in the scant? Like why no main characters wearing this, Penny?
I think it actually would have made sense for Worf just because like the kilt to me, like it's associated with toughness and stuff
warrior.
After Braveheart. Yeah, warriors,
yeah.
right?
Okay.
And especially like if you're, you know, a Highland culture kind of thing. But for Data, I don't think he's asexual and there's just a certain sexiness about it.
Right.
That I don't think would make sense on Data.
It'd be that much more paint that they'd have to apply on Brent Spiner every week. So.
What would have been amazing is none of the cast has to wear them except Chief O'Brien on the bridge.
You just see him like jumping out of the turbo lift, like just like pulling it up over him, you know, like every single time.
No explanation, but the whole series just O'Brien has to wear a skin.
Even on Deep Space Nine.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody has this, the Star Trek First Contact uniforms on, but he's still pushing hard on the scant.
Or he's just wearing like the top from the First Contact uniform, the DS9 uniform, but with the scant below.
Okay.
Yeah, so I have to ask you guys, has there ever been an explanation about why Troy doesn't wear a conventional uniform?
Well, that's something good to bring up, actually, because, yeah, right from the start, you know, she has like her cheerleader outfit in episode one, and then we go directly into bodysuits.
Yes. Like she's going out for aerobics class, essentially.
That's really what it is.
It goes on for about six seasons like that. And then Captain Jellicoe forces her to wear... this is the episode Chain of Commands, where Picard goes on like this mission and gets kidnapped by the Cardassians. And so the new captain of the Enterprise, Jellicoe, says, what are you doing in that bodysuit? We wear uniforms on this starship. And so from season six onward... She starts wearing like an actual uniform, which I do appreciate. I think Troy's character seemed like to have so much more authority within like that commander's uniform that she was wearing.
I never really got it because to me, the bodysuits were actually weirdly unflattering. I thought compared to like the uniform.
Oh, she has a great figure, but again, can't. How do you put that on anybody?
Yeah.
Can I tell you my theory on why I think that they had her wear that? Is because everybody else was so strict and formal and literally buttoned up to the chin, whereas for her, you know, it's this kind of sweetheart neckline. You're seeing her collarbones, and it's like a physical openness of the uniform, just like she is, just in terms of like open up to me, like look how I'm open to you, kind of thing. And I think that's what it was meant to imply. But then, kind of that inherent sexism, maybe of the first couple of seasons, they realize, oh my God, we got to fix this, maybe. And then that's why, because like I still, you know, I'm kind of torn. Do I picture her in the blue, or do I picture her with this crazy sweetheart neckline that, you know, the early seasons had?
You know, I think that interpretation totally makes sense. And, you know, she was essentially kind of the heart of the crew. She represented that. And I think that is how it works. But, you know, okay, if somebody says the name Deanna Troi and when you picture her, what's like the first image that comes to your mind when you picture her in her uniform or whatever costume she has on?
Well, like before I started rewatching it from season one, just like a couple months ago, it was actually in the blue.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there's just like an authority there and just like a maturity and something. Plus, maybe this is like a really vain thing, but I don't know if you guys would have noticed. But the early seasons, the makeup is horrendous.
Oh, yeah.
It's so heavy. And like on Brent Spiner, I understand because Data doesn't have real skin. So it's supposed to look a little different. But everybody looks so unnatural. Like I find myself distracted, not even listening to the dialogue for certain scenes because it's so obvious. And then later on, even, you know, everybody just, it becomes more natural, more muted. And maybe that's part of why I choose to remember her that way, or is it just, you know, I would rather think of her with having more authority and less rouge? Like, I don't know.
Penny, it was the 80s. I don't know what they were thinking at the time there.
I kind of wonder, too, if they felt a little hesitant about making a counselor look like a regular Starfleet member.
Like, if you went to a counselor and he's wearing, like, a active duty military uniform, like, are you going to open up to that dude?
I don't know.
Yeah.
At the same time, mental health, right? It is like health of the crew, health of everybody, right?
Yeah.
Like if that's part of what's involved, then it does make sense that she'd be more part of the medical team.
But she was never able to display like her command pips or anything like that when she was in that uniform. So, you know, it was kind of I don't know. It kind of took away from her character and the authority that she also had as, you know, even though she was counselor and she was opening up. But I don't know. I prefer to think of Deanna in like the blue uniform that she wore as a commander.
So. I tend to think that's the best looking one.
Yeah.
Like it just works for, I think, the actress and the character much better.
Well, why don't we segue into the fact that Patrick Stewart was having severe back problems caused by the uniforms, and he literally got a doctor's note forcing
Do you think that was an excuse?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the entire crew would have been like behind him like on this like campaign against these early uniforms. So he forced production to change over uniforms between seasons two and three, and we get kind of the classic, you know, next gen uniforms that we always picture when we think of the series here. Penny, I love these. These are, you know, up there amongst my favorite here, and I don't know if it's because of my love for TNG. That was the first series that I got into, or if it's just there's something like kind of cool and classic about how these colors pop, even though this is like kind of late 80s, early 90s. It doesn't have that kind of like ugly 90s you know, look that sometimes I associate with the era. Well, what do you think of these particular ones?
I think these are just more muted classic colors. Like, there's no trying to take advantage of anything. Like, I felt in the early ones, with Shatner, like, his eyes were so blue and everything was designed to just kind of capitalize on that. Whereas I felt this was just more, like, you almost had more color from the panels and stuff, didn't you?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just, like, black with all these colors and they're just kind of echoing the color scheme of the entire ship. But it does look more comfortable, like, if you were thinking of it from a utilitarian point of view, which, by the way, sorry to kind of hijack the conversation.
No. That's just all we ever do on this. Believe me.
I was just watching these episodes. I was struck by the supreme arrogance of the away teams.
Right.
Like, you go out there with a tricorder or just like a little suitcase. Like, you could be facing anything, but you're still in these slick uniforms that you wear in the comfort of your starship where nothing could possibly go wrong. There's no pockets. There's no water, you know, bottles. There's no anything that you would expect from somebody going into a situation where you really don't know what's happening.
They're really counting on the fact that it's going to be temperate weather no matter where they land as well.
And then, yeah, you know, nothing else is going to, it's just, to me, it just speaks of, it's just smacks of arrogance. And I get there's like all sorts of instruments on the machine that you'd be able to, or on the ship that you'd be able to figure stuff out before you went there. But there's just something about it that just screams, what could possibly go wrong?
Because when we get into later series, we do see some addressing of that particular issue that you're bringing up. So I'm glad, but Cam, did we see, we did see bomber jackets from like the TOS movie era, did we not?
Yeah.
So I don't know why they never really addressed that. This just seems a little bit too like slick and clean, I think, when you're going on an away mission. I agree with that there.
My one issue with these uniforms is I love the design of them. Like, I think it's a just great looking design.
Yeah.
With, you know, the red and the black or the gold and the black. But to me, when I watch it, they often seem a little puffy. You know, whether it's in the shoulders or in the, like, it seems like the actors, obviously, it's a running joke. They always have to constantly pull them down.
Yeah.
But they look kind of puffy. Like, they make the actors actually look kind of paunchy in ways that I don't think are accurate.
Yeah, because it was only like a 3-month gap between seasons 2 and 3. And then all of a sudden, but especially you think of like, you know, Brent Spiner, like he was very, very kind of rail thin sort of dude. But then all of a sudden it looks like Data's like put on like a good 12 pounds over the course of one summer.
Yeah.
So,
but the wrong fabric, right? Like, that's all it takes.
Because
I think I was reading that the earlier ones were starting to fray just because of the nature of the fabric. If they were trying to have something more resilient, it's not going to drape as well either.
The other thing that the actors have also complained quite a bit about, the smell of those original uniforms. Like,
really?
Yeah. Like, it's, it would just retain all the sweat or, you know, like, whatever they were leaking out. So it's kind of like, after a couple weeks, I don't know if I'd be wanting to wear those either.
I will say the fabric of the classic TNG uniforms does not look comfortable to me.
Well, how, okay.
It looks like felt. Like, I don't want to be draped in felt.
Yeah. But how does it feel when you do wear those classic uniforms, though?
The classic TNG
ones. Oh, classic TNG.
I've never worn a TNG uniform.
Right. Okay.
Not yet.
No, you've never gotten booed off stage at a bar, Cam?
Not yet.
Okay. Even when you got on the mechanical bull?
Well, that's a different story altogether.
Fair enough.
A Starfleet uniform?
Cam had a wild, wild university experience.
It was in a scant.
Yeah.
So, you know, TNG goes off the air and we seg into the movies. They keep the same uniforms for generations.
Sort of. Yeah.
They're close enough. They don't really warrant that much discussion,
No.
But when we get to First Contact, we get the introduction of the newer uniforms for TNG.
Very kind of Hugo Boss sort of like SS sort of colors here. And I'm not a proponent of the Nazis at all. But I have to say,
that's a controversial opinion.
Well,
I was going to say it's kind of goth. It's kind of like, I'm a big Nine Inch Nails fan. And in like the 90s, you know, like maybe it was like influenced by Pretty Hate Machine or something. I don't know. It's just kind of goth, kind of awesome, isn't it?
They need to have like the nylons around their hands and stuff like that.
You know, maybe that's a little far for a paramilitary or a military organization. But I don't know. Maybe it's like just the 90s. Like, you think about the bands at the time, right? And what was edgy.
Right.
Yeah. This would have fit right in.
96. Yeah. You know what? I dig the colors.
This is smack dab in the corn era. Where are the hoodies?
Cam, you did have like black fingernails, didn't you?
Never did, no.
I thought you did paint your fingernails.
No, that was our friend Scott.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay. I just assumed when you were going all through your Reznor period that
No.
Okay.
I never did, no.
Well, couldn't you see Trent wearing something like that? Like, that would be a totally
Do you think he goes to bars on a Halloween dressed in that?
Nah. Maybe these days.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you think these uniforms, they obviously have the differentiating colors around the neckline, but do they make the characters look too similar, do you think?
Okay, because it's very clear with the colors of, you know, whether in your command or engineering or medical, you know, it's right in your face what this person does, because, like, it's splashed all over you when you're wearing those classic next-gen and classic TOS uniforms. But here, I think that is something, it's a little monolithic.
Yeah.
You really have to be paying attention to their turtlenecks, right?
At the same time, it is a little bit more egalitarian because it speaks more to, look, we're all the same, except you all have a little bit of a different ability, as opposed to the red just smacks of, we're on the bridge and you're not, kind of thing, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Just one little digression, though. But, I mean, I should have asked you guys about this, but the classic TNG uniforms, what do you think of Dr. Crusher and, like, her lab coat that she gets to wear? I kind of dig it, though. It adds a lot to her character, in my opinion.
Again, it's more functional, right? Like, if you've got to have a whole bunch of gadgets with you, like, it makes sense you'd have big, deep pockets to be able to do that.
You need to have, like, all your hypo sprays, like, at a moment's notice. So just reach into that pocket and grab it.
I'm a big fan of the coat. I'm actually surprised they didn't find, not necessarily throw a similar coat on Bashir or, you know, Bones or whoever, but just have some sort of, I don't know, some sort of thing they would wear that could hold more medical tools. It, like, makes sense to me that you would. And obviously, Bones is the first, so maybe they don't think of that with the first time. But Bashir, Phlox, none of them have any sort of, you know, coat or anything that would carry things.
Phlox kind of wears scrubs, doesn't he?
Is that what it is? Is it even a uniform? I've always been confused by that.
It's not a uniform. It's just, like, he's a doctor in, like, a very loose-fitting garb. I have to believe they're, like, scrubs.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. Oh, yeah.
So,
Contact uniform. But, Cam, what was kind of the original inspiration for those First Contact uniforms, though?
I don't know, Tyler. What was it?
I'm assuming it's the what you're going to next, but Deep Space Nine uniforms.
Well, I was going to go actually to initially when Deep Space Nine started. They didn't, of course, have the really cool uniforms we know and love. They had more of the classic TNG, but I thought we could look...
No, when Deep Space Nine started, they had, like, these new jumpsuits. It wasn't...
Oh, sorry, yes.
Yeah, it wasn't the classic TNG uniform.
But it looked kind of similar-ish.
Well,
they aren't a radical redesign or anything.
I don't know. Those jumpsuits, like, that was nothing we'd ever seen Starfleet officers wearing before. I mean, it was the same kind of color code.
Yeah.
And, you know, we figured out that they would have, you know, the same command pips, but... I don't know, you're wearing turtlenecks all of a sudden, you're wearing jumpsuits. It's very utilitarian, though. I thought it was a pretty dramatic change. I don't know, what do you make of these new Deep Space Nine uniforms that were introduced? I guess this would have been, season 6 of Next Gen / season 1 of Deep Space Nine.
Again, I think that it sends a message that it's less militant, less organized by hierarchy kind of thing. And if they're going to be interacting more with people who aren't necessarily members of Starfleet, it's a little bit more approachable. Mm-hmm. It's less kind of bold and in your face. And, like, it still indicates who they are, but it's more like an everyday kind of look, I think. I think that it's a messaging thing.
It's like you go to a mechanic, and it's kind of what a mechanic would come from underneath your car. He'd be wearing something like that, right? Like more the everyman sort of outfit.
Or more like, for me, this is more like if you're reading sci-fi, like, you know, old school sci-fi, and they're like colonizing a planet, and they, you know, it's still like futuristic times, but it's not like, I don't know, just like geometric and just kind of forward thinking. This is a lot simpler. And it is more of a jumpsuit. I don't know that it's like a mechanic jumpsuit, but it's definitely above that, I think.
Sure.
Well, it makes sense to me because DS9 is much more of a, like, down and dirty Star Trek series.
Yeah.
I mean, the Deep Space Nine station is not the the wonderful, odyssey that is the Enterprise D. So it makes sense that, you know, on this kind of dirty station, they would be wearing more like a coverall kind of look, something that's more functional as opposed to regal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I thought we could also comment, of course, we are introduced to the Bajoran outfits in season 1. We can see Major Kira wearing hers, and then as well as Odo in security. What is your take on these early Bajoran uniforms?
Well, how many uniforms does Kira go through by the end of the series?
She has a lot,
yeah.
But I thought we would kind of focus on these ones and then like kind of some of the one of the later ones.
Oh, well, you know, the Bajoran ones... they're not explorers, and they're very adamant throughout the series that, you know, the Bajoran militia, you know, they're there as administrators. So it's definitely a different kind of look. I've never been really all that sucked in by the look of the Bajoran uniforms. You've got, like, those kind of very prominent sleeves that they have that kind of attach to the shoulders.
Yeah. Very, very broad shoulders.
It's like a bolero jacket as well. Yeah. It's just kind of... It's underwhelming, don't you think?
I do agree. Like, I wasn't blown away when I saw... when I saw those jumpsuits appear on Deep Space Nine for the first time, I was like, wow, that's kind of a big jump in how we kind of evolution in Starfleet uniforms. But when I saw the Bajoran militia, I was just like, huh, that just looks like kind of generic Alien of the Week uniform to me.
To me, they just never looked cool. And they have, like, weird shoulders on them, and they're just, I don't know, kind of dorky looking.
Do we see many people wearing Bajoran uniforms at the Star Trek conventions?
Just you.
Just, yeah.
With the earring? That's why I got to wonder about the earrings. Yeah. The earrings were the best part, actually.
Yeah. I'm surprised I've yet to buy one at any of the conventions. I should...
They're pretty cheap.
Yeah. Not that
really?
Expensive.
If you find one, just like pick it up for me and, you know, I'll catch you later.
We'll hook you up. We've got friends. They were in Calgary this past week. They're buying lots of merchandise for Cam and I we're going to have to wait another 3 months until we get those Andorian vinyl figures that we've been waiting for, Cam.
I can't wait.
Okay.
So the Dominion War kicks in, and DS9 suddenly begins to look cool.
I think...
Really cool.
I really think that once they adopt those First Contact era uniforms, like, it just... Everybody looks so badass in there. And even, like, Kira's uniform, like, this uniform number 6 at this point, maybe, I don't know. But, like, I like that so much more than, like, her Season 1 uniform as well.
Well, when we look at, like... And we're going to get to, like, 7 of 9, and we just talked about Troy. They swap up the jumpsuits a lot. But it never feels like they're perfecting them. It's just like, let's just throw a different color on them. Sure. Whereas when we get to the Kira jumpsuits, it feels like they're evolving them and trying to figure out what actually looks best for the character, as opposed to, how would this look in blue?
But, and I do appreciate, like, Odo, he does go through a number of uniform changes. And, I mean, he's a shapeshifter. He can shift it into whatever he wants it to look like. I remember one of the changes, there's that flashback episode where Odo has a belt on when he was in charge of security when it was run by the Cardassians. And then Rene Bergeronat, he went to the producers. He's like, I like that belt. Can you put it on my regular uniform? So all of a sudden, Odo was just wearing a belt as part of his uniform.
Right.
So. And then there was an episode where he stopped wearing it, and they commented on the fact that he's no longer wearing his belt. Is a plot point, or not a plot point, but is a character point that I appreciate.
But doesn't it make you wonder then, like, how much of it was planning and trying to send a message versus the actor just literally being uncomfortable and saying, like, I've got a wedgie for 7 hours a day, you guys. Like, let's figure something out.
I would like to think it's all just part of the master plan on the part of the head writers. You know, they've got, like, the series Bible. The uniforms are an intricate part.
I wonder how invested the writers are in the uniforms.
You know what? Okay, maybe we'll touch upon this towards the end of the episode, but I think if Brian Fuller was still in charge of Discovery, if you look at what he does when it comes to costumes on shows like Hannibal, he's very, very much invested in how the characters look in their costumes. So, I would say Fuller would have been if he was still attached to Discovery. Who knows what the new showrunners are into at this point.
How into them was Rick Berman, do you think?
I think it's kind of indifferent.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much do you think he was really going down to the set and saying, no, you know, these colors are just not working for me?
Yeah, I doubt it.
Okay. Cameron, well, what do you have next?
Before we skip out of DS9, let's just talk a little bit about the Bajoran militia.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're similar to the Kira ones, but we see some variations. Do they improve in any way on what we've just talked about with Odo and Kira?
No, I mean, I like Kira's Season 6, Season 7 uniform the most out of all the Bajoran ones. But, I mean, these things, they don't look comfortable. And again, we're going back to those muted colors, right?
But it's also almost medieval, isn't it? Doesn't it remind you of, like, medieval Spain or something like that? Like, it's almost a throwback as
it
opposed
is.
To looking to the future. And, I mean, I recognize a lot of different outfits do that. But this is, I don't know, just so thrown back. Like, there's almost nothing modern about it.
If they wanted to throw back, they should throw back to, like, the Swiss Guard or something like that. With
but
just,
that's,
like,
again, kind of what it reminds me of, right? Just kind of that era of, I don't know, it's partly the tunic thing in the front, too. I don't know.
Well, with Voyager, there's not a lot to talk about, but we can talk a bit about, you know, were we happy that this look continued? And also, of course, there's a 7 of 9 uniform, which we will talk about after.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's the same uniform as we were introduced to in Deep Space Nine. I never really understood why they continued this from Deep Space Nine, because the whole point is Deep Space Nine's on a space station. It's supposed to be a little bit different. So why are they wearing these uniforms that they wear on space stations when the next gen crew was still wearing their regular uniforms? It never made any sort of sense to me.
But for the viewer, right, like if you want some continuity, some nostalgia, like the next group of people you're trying to recruit to be fans, you need some sort of connection to them, don't you? To the most recent incarnation, I would think.
Well, I mean, Star Trek Generations, like the film had, it was still in theaters when Voyager premiered. So, I mean, like, in so those older TNG classic or TNG new era sort of uniforms were in use.
Right.
I don't know. To me, I would have been cool if they were still wearing the next gen uniforms. There was still, I don't know, still a reason to do that, I'd say.
Although, you know, every series kind of the uniforms set the tone for what the show is.
Yeah.
It's telling to me that Voyager couldn't even come up with its own uniforms.
Okay.
It was like, you know, just use the same
ones. I'm going to admit, I never really got into this show. Like, I saw probably, like, the first season, maybe, and it was just not, it just didn't grab me in the same way. And it, it's not because of the uniforms, but, you know, I think that it's indicative.
Well, Cam and I, we refer to it as TNG Light oftentimes, so.
Right. All right. I mean, I guess you could say the 7 of 9 uniform was their biggest contribution to costuming for the series, really.
Yeah, look, we see a lot of people dress like that at the conventions. It's very memorable there, so.
That's why I wear it.
Okay.
But, do you paint it on, or is it a fabric thing? Because it sure looks painted on her, doesn't it?
It's like a big corset deal. Apparently, it was wildly uncomfortable.
Yeah, she said it, like, if she had to go to the bathroom, it would take about 40 minutes to get
and
it
see,
off.
See, this is actually, I believe, for the Picard situation with his back, if he was wearing something to kind of streamline everything, you've probably never worn a corset, but the longer you wear it, and if it's really bringing things in, it really hurts your back.
Oh,
right.
Right?
Yeah.
And the longer you wear that, like, you can do, like, it's one thing to wear it every now and again, or like it was in my wedding dress kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Profoundly uncomfortable. If you're wearing that every day for like a whole, shooting a whole season, that could mess you up, man.
26 episodes there.
Yeah,
they're long seasons too. Yeah. Really? So that's why I just kind of believe the legitimate, you know.
And the long shooting days. Like 16-hour days.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it would be brutal.
Yeah.
So, and under hot lights, I mean...
You're sweating in a... Just bound up like a sausage.
Well, yeah.
You know what? Those actors were well paid, though.
Were they?
Well, some of them were.
Some were.
Yeah. Nice. Sorry, Harry Kim.
So, the next Star Trek series was like, we're doing something different.
Sure.
We're going back to the future. And so we get Enterprise... And they really drastically redesigned the uniforms for this series. Now, a lot of people did not get on board Enterprise at the time. The show was very polarizing with the few that watched it.
Yeah.
You dropped off at season 2, as I recall.
I made it to the end of season 2, and I watched the premiere of season 3, and then I was just like, I'm out of here. Penny, did you ever get into Enterprise?
Never. And you know what? These uniforms, just seeing them reminds me of SeaQuest.
Oh,
you guys ever used to watch SeaQuest? Yeah. Like, it seems like a ripoff of SeaQuest.
Well, you know, Penny, I would urge you, I went back and I got into Enterprise. I was not a fan initially, but seasons 3 and 4, I think they're of the best Star Trek seasons that have ever been on television.
Really?
Like, I really, I genuinely dig the series now. So, but as far as the uniforms go, Cam, would you say it's accurate to describe them as very much of their time, like early 2000s sort of look?
I mean, I think you could say that, but you could say that for almost all of the uniforms across the board. But to me, I actually really like these uniforms.
Oh, you own one, don't you?
I do own one, yes. And I will say it's by far the most comfortable.
I believe that. Well, okay, so it is a jumpsuit. So they obviously like the jumpsuit idea. You know, they've used them for the past three series and the last three and a half films, essentially, as well. They go with this look once again. My only complaint, though, is the command colors, you know, it's very tiny. It's just like one little strip on the shoulder pads there, but which I like kind of looking at somebody and saying, hey, I know that guy can help me if I've broke my foot or if I crashed my bicycle and I need somebody to fix it, like an engineer or something like that. I do like that go-to sort of... signal that you get when you look at a uniform myself.
But it's also the flavor of it. Like, these guys do look to me like mechanics, or like you'd expect them to not belong on the bridge, right? There's just a certain something that isn't there anymore.
Well, Cam, are those the most utilitarian uniforms we've seen throughout all of Star Trek?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
Except maybe surpassed a little bit by the Mako uniforms, also from Enterprise.
Yeah.
Who are sort of the Secret Service group. Or not Secret Service, more like the
Special Ops.
Yeah, Special Ops team aboard Enterprise.
I hate these uniforms.
Introduced in season 3.
They look like they're wearing camouflage pajamas.
Sure,
but
you know
comfy?
What?
Sure. Yeah. These guys were very comfortable.
I will give the Makos this. You know, we talked about the Bajoran militia uniforms. Those look to me completely pointless to even wear.
Yeah.
They wouldn't serve any sort of tactical advantage. Whereas the Mako uniforms have a little bit of camouflage to them if you're fighting at night.
Yes. It's
very ninja.
Yeah,
very
like ninja, they are ninja. Like they strike me as like a special forces uniform.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's a great design. I don't think it's that exciting, but I don't think it's embarrassing. What do you think of the patch on the arm with the shark?
It's very, they want you to know that they're tough, right?
That's metal.
Yeah, very metal.
I might get that tattooed on me one day.
Really?
No.
Okay. If you're going to get a Star Trek tattoo, Cam, what would it be?
It's got to be the Gorn, right?
The Gorn?
Yeah. Okay.
Like,
of course.
Lower back Gorn tattoo?
Of course.
I did. A Gorn tramp stamp? Is that what we're talking about?
Peeking up over the the pant line.
With holding a rock over his head. Honestly, I don't have any tattoos. If I was ever going to get one, it might be like just the Starfleet Delta or something.
Right.
Like maybe on my wrist or my bicep or well, not that I have biceps, but like you know, just my arm.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, I thought before we left sort of the Starfleet, we would talk a little bit about some of the Admiral uniforms. Now, there's a billion Admiral uniforms,
Yes,
so I kind of picked out some of the shiny examples.
Okay.
So in TOS, most of the Admirals honestly had all shirts like Kirk. For the most part, they're gold, but with like the emblem look kind of like a sun. And to me, that's completely unremarkable. But there's one that does stand out, and that is the Commodore from the episode Court Martial, Commodore Stone, which I actually kind of like this uniform. Tyler, you are smirking. I get the vibe.
No, only because you and I have had this debate before about
it's not an Admiral.
Commodores versus Admirals.
Right.
That's
but
all,
but
that's
I guess
all.
I'm just using this because it's a uniform that stands out.
I totally agree. This stands out. It's red, so he's like an engineering Commodore?
Sure.
Sure? Okay. Yeah, stands out.
But can you call it a uniform if it's like a one-off? You got to wonder, you know, if you achieve a certain rank, does that mean that you have some certain leniency in what you get to wear? Like, is that why there was so much variation?
Maybe that's his loungewear as well,
right?
And he gets to wear whatever he wants. Cam, what do we all have next here with that?
We go to the movies, the original series movies, and we get Brock Peters here as a Starfleet Admiral.
Yeah.
Similar idea as the rest of the crew with the red uniform, sort of naval look.
No, the only difference here is that he's got the military decorations below his Starfleet insignia.
How do you feel about admirals having uniforms that similar to the regular crew?
You know, the problem is like from like ensign up to admiral, it was all pretty much the same uniform, right? Except I think cadets and enlisted men in that era had different sort of uniforms.
Right.
I should say enlisted people. But yeah, I don't know. It didn't really bother me. What do we have else?
When we go to TNG, I mean, you could say the same about Nechayev's outfit.
Yeah.
But it does have the gold lines down the front of it, which I think at least indicates something.
Sure.
There's like a billion TNG Admiral uniforms. Why do you think that was?
They never figured it out. Penny, do you recall like watching every episode a Admiral would appear, and apparently they had a completely redesigned uniform compared with the previous Admiral?
But that's why I wonder, was it based on their own personal taste? Like, do you get to wear, is it like you get colors
maybe.
And then you get to choose based on that? And maybe it's based on where you're from or what you like. You know, it's kind of a cool thought.
Maybe the first test to being an admiral is designing your own uniform.
Yeah, you get like
sit down with some crayons and you...
you have to be your own little personal tailor. Okay.
Well, when we look at the final episode of The Next Generation, we get a look at Admiral Beverly Crusher's uniform.
That's hot.
Captain Beverly Crusher's uniform.
Yeah.
Yes, I want his...
You wanted a promoter.
Yes, yes, is what I'm saying. But yes, when she's aboard the Pasteur, I was curious what you thought about these uniforms.
I like the comm badges, but I never really dug these uniforms, though.
Right.
They just seemed a little kind of chintzy to me, to a certain... Like, they're kind of like... just created on the fly. I don't know. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Penny?
I kind of like it.
It's
different, but it still has that kind of broad-shouldered. It's got the sweeping lines that we often see. So it kind of fits in with everything, but it does still, like, whoa, does it ever stand out?
Cam, your opinion. Captain Beverly Crusher. I should say Beverly Picard.
Yes. I like the design of the uniform, but I don't know. Like, all of the badges to me look really cool. And then we get to that era, and I'm like... These ones just don't have the same punch to them.
Okay.
And it's not like I obsess over badges either. It's just like, yeah, that looks cool. It looks like a Starfleet badge. That one, I don't get that reaction to it.
Okay.
And we should just add, like, the DS9 Admiral uniforms, once we get to the Dominion era, And this is, of course, I'm showing you guys a photo of Admiral Paris and Voyager, but it's also sure. similar to the DS9 ones.
I can't tell you how excited I was to see that they, like, because Deep Space Nine, they already adopted, like, the new uniforms, but the admirals were still all wearing, like, the old TNG era ones. So when we finally got to see them in the Dominion War era, I was very excited to see these uniforms. I actually like the admiral uniforms from the First Contact era.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't, the gold thread, though, and the gold piping, I feel like that's, I mean, it's obviously a throwback to the original series, but it's just, to me, it's just so dated. And like you could do better than that, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Glowing strips of light or something. I don't know.
So why don't we leave Starfleet behind and move into the Klingons?
Alrighty.
And look at the original series Klingons.
Yeah.
Because the original series Klingons very different than the Klingons most of us are familiar with.
I don't know if it's a popular opinion, but there's just something kind of quaint about them that I appreciate. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think they look as cool as, you know, modern era Klingons, but there's just something very like, oh, jolly. That's a nice little warrior outfit you got there, sir.
They look like space pirates.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think of these space pirates?
They look like homemade ballet outfits, don't they?
What's wrong with homemade ballet outfits?
Like if you were going to be in the ballet and your mom was like, I'll make your outfit, that's what it would look like. You don't think so? It's just, I don't know, it's just so cheap.
I call them quaint.
Well, you know, it's funny because...
Folksy.
Some of them have sort of like a chainmail look to them, and some of them don't.
Right.
I think the ones with the chainmail look far better.
Oh, man.
The other ones look kind of chintzy, like a little homemade, like thrown together from pieces left, you know, from previous sets and that sort of thing, previous productions. So let's move into the TNG era Klingons. These are the ones people are the most excited about, the ones that people dress up as at cons.
Penny, it doesn't look like they're going to the ballet that because her mom made them a uniform, right?
Hells no. I love these. It's amazing.
Ken, we first saw these in the motion picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's interesting that they kept adapting these, you know, I think they knew that they had a winner, or maybe they're just trying to keep budget, but I don't know. To me, that is, when I think of Klingons, I always picture them wearing those standard uniforms.
Right. But again, that's very traditional, because how often would you really need, like, body armor or, like, a holster for your weapons, like, in space? I mean, Klingons, clearly, they find reason to take advantage of that, but it is, don't you think it's very traditional, considering, you know, their lifestyle at the time?
And if I was a Klingon, would I want to wear armor, or would I just, you know, like, hey, go ahead, try to come at me. I don't need armor to protect me.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I am a big fan of them. It's a design that... It's a very complicated design, and often those age very poorly when you look at, you know, like 1980s television, but for some reason those Klingon ones hold up.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a testament to how great a design it was.
Do you think there's any chance we might see something somewhat similar in Star Trek Discovery?
I don't know what to expect from Star Trek Discovery.
Neither do I.
So, when we get, Enterprise did their own thing with the Klingons, and it's fine. It's sort of like furs. It's more like the, you know, tribal kind of warrior look.
If I was filming in Southern California, I would hate to be wearing those furry Klingon uniforms there.
That's markedly less samurai, though. Like the ones before that were kind of more samurai inspired, where these are more a little bit, I don't want to say like caveman, like it's just much more primal as opposed to, you know, being polished like that. So that's why I think the samurai ones stand up better.
More like Mongolian Empire sort of look,
Yeah.
Or it's like, you know, all the fur indicates maybe they hunted these things.
Yeah,
like they're kind of wearing their trophies.
Exactly.
I'm okay with it, but it's not iconic.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's move on to the Romulans. This is one of my favorite designs, which is the original series Romulans.
I don't know what it is, but those helmets, like, okay, there's so much like potential for cheese factor.
Yes.
But I'm won over, and I don't know how it's possible, because I'm usually like the big kind of complainer about maybe some of the campiness about the original series.
Right.
I like the uniforms, the colors, and just give me those helmets. That seems like fun to me. Penny.
Are you saying you're going to make yourself a helmet, or are you going to do a little...
people make me wear helmets every time I drive, unfortunately. What do you think of the original Romulans, though?
I think it's definitely more menacing, and it does have... It's a richer quality, right? Because you get that weaving, interwoven kind of quality to it. I think it's much more distinctive.
I was waiting for you to mock me for liking those, though.
No, I mean, it's super campy. Like, you're not going to get away from that, but it does have... It just looks like more thought and effort was put into it than the Klingon ones.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's not like they've got their homemade ballerina outfits.
No,
like
not
that.
This time.
Yeah, Cam.
Well, in the series, you know, they really build up the Romulans. Like, we haven't seen a Romulan in, you know, decades. So I feel like they had to look cool, because if they popped up on screen and they were just kind of wearing, even like the first time the Klingons show up, just kind of like the flat, you know, beige outfits, people would be like, eh,
yeah,
whatever. But these, there's like a certain like majesty to them that I really like. And I really like the vibrant colors, too. I think that's something that really works quite well.
Helmet, yay or nay?
I'm cool with the helmet.
Yeah.
It's not something that, like, leaps out at me. But, you know, Enterprise, they brought in the Romulans in their final season.
But those
no
are
cool helmets, though.
No, but those are actually the Nemesis era Romulan
right.
uniforms. So it just means that the Romulans in Star Trek Nemesis were really dressing very retro, you know, apparently.
Yes.
So, I don't know, those things, we're kind of in the era of costumes where it's like, I know, let's go with dark colors a lot. I'm just like...
Yeah, but it also gives a sense that they're very traditional people, that they don't change much, that they're not, you know, I don't know, I feel, maybe I'm looking for too much symbolism in this kind of stuff, but...
no, we want deep thinkers.
It does kind of give that impression, doesn't it, that there's not a lot of change over time, or that, you know, what they look like isn't important to them, I don't know.
Yeah. Cameron, do we have TNG era Romulans? That
yes,
we can
I've got them right here.
Look at those shoulder pads there.
I was just going to say, yeah.
Are there more famous shoulder pads in Star Trek than those? Like, those things are monstrous.
I was trying to come up with a snarky answer and I don't have one.
No, okay.
Yeah. They are breathtaking. Yeah, I mean,
yeah. I don't know. I feel like they keep like bumping into each other on the ship. It's like inevitable that you're going to like poke an eye out with those shoulder pads. I don't know. Yeah. Would you want to wear that uniform though?
No, that's the one thing I've never liked about the TNG era Romulan uniforms is I don't like the blocky shoulders.
No.
They just don't look cool.
They don't look like anything that would work if you're trying to get a job done.
No.
Unless you're trying to intimidate before you actually do anything, right? Like big square shoulders, you know, that's saying I'm strong, that's saying I'm intimidating. Don't even try anything before you even start a discussion. I just think it sends such a message when you first encounter someone who looks like that.
Maybe I just need helmets and I'll be sold on those.
Well, speaking of outfits that are not highly functional, let's talk about the Cardassians.
Yeah, okay.
These are the TNG era Cardassians. I love the look of them. I would never want to wear that suit.
Well, that's like not even the first Cardassian uniform. It's like the milk box like uniform that they originally appeared in was just, that looked even more ridiculous. And like how would you walk around in any of these kinds of things?
Remember, there's that episode. I think it's the McKee where like Gul Dukat's uniform was like torn open.
Yeah,
for like half the scene.
He's getting out of the airlock and like it just came apart.
Yes,
it's like yeah, these things.
What I do like about these uniforms, though, is that they're really trying to think outside the box. And this is not something made for comfort. This is not.
Oh, no.
It's just so, like, for lack of a better word, it's so alien.
I would say that they are intimidating looking. I think out of all the uniforms we've seen, like, I think those are more intimidating looking than the Klingons as
like,
well.
Like, menacing even.
Yeah.
Not just intimidating. Like, there's just, like, it's just all hard edges. It just sends such a message that we're not soft and warm and cuddly people. We're not, you know, complex. We've got hard edges, and you better watch out because there's pointy parts, too.
Oh, Cam, I think at the conventions, it never looks as if the people wearing the Cardassian uniforms are very comfortable sitting down. Like,
right.
It looks like they're just really trying to squeeze into those chairs without getting pushed out.
Yeah, they just seem very... I mean, I think they fit the Cardassian characters very well because the Cardassians have kind of a reptilian look.
Mm.
But they do not look like something I'd want to wear.
Yeah.
So why don't we just close out this episode
with
an alternate universe, which is the Kelvinverse. And these are the J.J. Abrams outfits. And even though they're fairly, you know, they honor the originals quite well, a lot of people don't like them.
I would much rather wear the original series uniform than this one, even though it's all based on the same thing. I don't know. There's just something, it seems a little cold to it. Like the colors don't pop the same way, in my opinion.
I think it's because they're textured, and then when you've got the close-ups that you do, it's just a different quality, it's just a different filmmaking style, and when you get those close-ups or the over-the-shoulder shot, you get the texture of the fabric, and it just suggests a complexity that wasn't there, that maybe there's like a functional purpose, maybe it's a wicking fabric or something that has a function.
I'm very slow, and it wasn't until somebody pointed out to me that the pattern was actually like the Starfleet insignia,
right?
That, and it took me like probably not until after Star Trek Into Darkness came out that I finally like realized that, but I was just like, okay, well that's interesting, but it looks a little busy. Like,
they look like sports jerseys to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's something about them that just has that kind, like more like athletic wear.
Like Under Armour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Why not? So. I mean, so they redesigned them slightly for Star Trek Beyond, but it wasn't a big enough difference that it was even like, well, that's a huge, you know, oh my God, what a revelation.
Well, I initially didn't like the Beyond ones. I don't know. I'm just like, why are they changing it again? But then I kind of grew to like them a little bit more. I actually kind of like the Beyond ones more than the first two J.J. films. So
I was indifferent.
Yeah. Didn't make
it. Doesn't do it for you.
Well, I think the last one might do something for you. And that's the away team jackets from Star Trek Beyond.
Captain Crunch is here to rescue the day.
But see, doesn't that seem a little bit more functional? Like there's pockets around, there's different, like what looks like might be like padded just to resist an impact or something. That to me doesn't say we're arrogant, we're expecting everything. This to me says we're prepared, we're ready to face something absolutely crazy and we're going to love it.
I might make that Captain Crunch joke, but I think this is kind of a badass looking jacket here.
My only issue is, does Starfleet not believe in camouflage?
Well, what's like, camouflage? Like, where are you going that you can have like a unit? Like,
yeah, there's so many thousands of different inhabitable worlds. Exactly. Like, what's camouflage?
Is there
in what
not
planet?
like chameleon fabric or anything at this point in time?
Not maybe in that point in time, but the costume designers don't necessarily have access to it. In 2017.
Well, you just swap, you know, different outfits on the actor every 5 minutes.
Yeah, that seems pretty practical.
Well, just to close out this episode, I'd like to just kind of go around a circle and just find out what each of you would like to see with the Discovery uniforms. Because as you said, Brian Fuller, when he was on board, would be much more invested in uniforms. Let's assume that this new team has a similar, aspiration.
I'll just say this. I do have hope. We did see that tiny little glimpse of a uniform that had like kind of a deep royal blue look to it. I just want colors that pop. I don't want like this saturated sort of look or these muted colors at all. Like, that's my biggest fear. I think the best era of uniforms and costumes was from the original series. There's some camp factor, but I thought that most part they're pretty badass though. Mm-hmm. So Penny, what do you hope to see from the next Star Trek series when it comes to the uniforms? What would you like them to take away from it? If you're looking at the different eras, what do you think would be maybe a good kind of era to take away from here?
TNG is still my favorite, so I'd like to see the colors, but I'd also like to see, I mean, part of the era that we live in now, and I think they're always borrowing, there's just the grittiness. There's a certain something there that says being prepared for trouble or having seen rough times, so I'd like to see a little bit more grittiness. That being said, if they take it too far, it's become a bit of a cliche, and it's going to be just like every other superhero movie, so I hope they don't go too far. But color, I think, is important. Is it going to be a stripe as opposed to a V? I don't know. I'm sure they've got a lot of smart people figuring it out, but I wouldn't like to see like black and gray. I have a feeling that's how it might go.
I don't want to see that. I can't tell you how fearful I am that's what it's going to be. That's not what Star Trek is, essentially. Right. Cam, what are your thoughts about the future here?
Well, in terms of timeline, we're landing between the Cage and of course Enterprise.
Yeah.
To me, both those uniforms are kind of on the darker side.
Yeah.
But I am hoping that maybe, look, I know they'll be obsessed with continuity. At least I hope they are to a certain degree, but I'd be willing to give them a little more leeway to be a little brighter. You know, kind of let's not pretend maybe the Cage uniforms were quite as dingy as they were, and they were closer to the colors of the original series. And let's find a decent in between. Like, I wasn't a big fan of Krall's, or Edison's uniform in Star Trek Beyond. I would like to see something better than that, something a little brighter and maybe less complicated looking.
We only had a very, very brief.
Very brief, yeah.
Brief. He was dressed up in, like, Enterprise era uniform, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was basically a take on the Enterprise era, yeah.
Okay, wow. All right, sir.
Okay, so I think on that note, our assignment is complete. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, we want to hear from you. Send your thoughts and feedback to subspacetransmissionspod@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Tyler, where do they find us?
Yeah, go to facebook.com/subspacepod. Like us there. You'll get access to exclusive content like commentary episodes, videos, stuff that we're not giving access to people who just subscribe to us on the podcast streamer that they've got. Lots of fun. And guys, it's a free podcast. Just the only thing we ask is that you just give us a like. It just shows you that people out there care.
That's right. You know? They're our real friends.
They're our real friends, yes.
Now, Tyler, what are we doing next week?
Well, Cam, next week's going to be Mother's Day. So last year, after we did our Father's Day episode, we promised we'd follow that up with a Mother's Day episode. So we're going to be looking at all the characters who had notable relationships, or at least notable mothers in Star Trek. So this should be a fun one.
I can't think of any.
No. I don't know, Penny, would you listen to a Mother's Day episode?
I love Bev Crusher, so if we can talk about it. Doesn't everybody want a mom like that?
I don't
know
if Wesley did.
She's ambitious, but she's still watching out for you.
Okay. I think she would be a wonderful mother, but I wonder how close did she and Wesley seem to be? I don't know.
He was a snot-nosed teenager most of the time.
You
Come
know
on,
what?
Give her a break.
I'm so glad they never filmed me talking to my mom when I was like 14, 15. Like,
right.
Just, you know, that'd be, like, I would just cringe at like how rude and disrespectful I could have been back in the day.
You weren't a goody two-shoes like Will Wheaton.
No, I wasn't. No, I didn't have your Trent Reznor period either. Like you
no,
yeah.
not at that age. That was later.
Mm, okay.
Okay, so you can also reach us on the Twitter. I'm at Cam, V is in Voyager's Lazy Uniforms, Smith.
You can find me at Reportin, that's R-E-P-O-R-T-O-N, N as in Nerys's later uniforms, I dig quite a bit.
Nice. And Penny, are you on Twitter?
I am on the Twitter. It's at Penny Dafloss, Penny like the coin, D-A-F is in Frank, L-O-S is in Sam. There's a lot of weird stuff there, a lot of journalism stuff, and just some fun stuff as well.
Cool.
I like the weird and the fun.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so until next time, the arena is closed.
Transfer complete.